We're continuing our study in the book of James. We're in James chapter 1 tonight. And we'll be considering verses 19 through 27.
That's verses 19 through the end of the chapter tonight.
And we'll begin reading at verse 19, James chapter 1.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul.
Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. True religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In verse 19, we see James pointing out three areas to us as believers that we should obey in Scripture. And those three areas are being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. There's one thing that we should be swift to do. There are two things that we should be slow to do. First of all, we see that James mentions the fact that we should be swift to hear. In other words, be a ready listener. A ready listener. And, you know, I think, as I was thinking about that phrase in preparation for this chapter, I was thinking about, you know, listening is a lost art today, it seems like. You know, we can do a lot of talking. We can express our own opinions about certain things. We can go on and on about this and that and all sorts of things. But, you know, to really know a person, to really understand a person, a brother or sister in Christ, we can't talk to them. We must listen to them. Have you ever thought about that? You know, if I want to understand you more, if I want to minister to your needs better, if I want to give you encouragement or to help you along your way, I must listen to you and to your concerns, because that's important. And James is saying that we should be swift to hear, a ready listener. He also mentions in verse 19 that we should be slow to do something, slow to speak. Proverbs 10:19 says, he that restraineth his lips is wise. He that restraineth his lips is wise. You know, the Lord gave us one tongue and two ears, didn't he? And that one tongue can do a lot of damage. As a matter of fact, James addresses that issue in the third chapter when he talks about the tongue and what it can do, the things that it can cause. But, you know, we should be, according to James, slow to speak. You know, sometimes we should speak up. Sometimes it's incumbent on us to be sure to say something, to speak up, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, people, many times, they are not interested in what we're saying. They want us to listen to what they have for us, you know. So we should be slow to speak. And also in verse 19, another thing that we should be slow to do is slow to wrath. Being slow to take offense and get angry. Proverbs 14:17 says that he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, or that he that is quick-tempered dealeth foolishly. You know, there's nothing worse than a sharp-tongued people, especially when they get mad. And, you know, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, well, Earl, you're a real smooth guy. You hardly ever lose your temper and get mad. That's not true. Because I do get mad and angry. and I do lose my temper. God forbid. You know, when people get angry and lose their temper, all sorts of horrible things can happen. You know, people have murdered other people by losing their temper and getting angry. You know, our temper should be under the control of the Spirit of God at all times. And you know, you listen, you get angry just like I do. You lose your temper just like I do. And we're all in the same boat. And the Spirit of God wants to work and work in us to make us slow to Jesus Christ, you'll readily see that he was always slow to anger. Now, the Lord did get angry. And James is going to talk about this in verse 20. And, you know, you recall in the gospel account that he drove the money changers out of the temple. He fashioned a whip and went in there, and he drove the money changers out. But God's anger is a little different from man's anger. In verse 20, James says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You know, the phrase "worketh not" means does not produce. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, God's anger is a righteous anger. Righteous indignation. Our anger is more like losing our temper, isn't it? You know, if we experience anger, most of the time it is not righteous anger. Most of the time if you and I get mad or we get angry real quick, it's because we're losing our temper and it's not under the control of the Spirit of God. And, you know, there's many verses in the scriptures that address that issue, you know. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Be ye angry and sin not. And James is saying to the believers here and to us in verse 20 that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. God's anger is hard for us to understand that because God's anger is always under control. God's anger is always for a good reason. Our anger is rarely under control and it's rarely for a good reason many times. But you know, God's anger is a righteous anger. We understand in the scriptures that God punishes sin. We understand that God is angry at people. It's a divine anger, a divine wrath, in the fact that he must punish sin. But God's anger is always under control, unlike our anger, you see. And I think James is exhorting us, especially in verse 19, to make sure that our temper and our temperament is under the control of the Spirit of God. He goes on in verse 21. He says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." That phrase, superfluity of naughtiness, that's a quaint King James expression. And what it means is abundance of wickedness. Lay apart all filthiness and abundance of filthiness. That phrase, lay apart, means to get rid of. Get rid of. And there's a similar verse in Colossians chapter 3. Keep your place in James and turn to Colossians just for a minute. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians 3:8 reads, "But now ye also put off all these." And Paul lists a number of things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Paul is exhorting Christians to put off or make these things that should not become a part of our lives. And that is anger and wrath. We discussed that. Malice, which is evil thoughts against other people. Blasphemy has to deal with our relationship with God. If we blaspheme God, filthy communication are the words that we use, you know, when we communicate with other people. And James is telling us in verse 21 here, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness," or receive with gentleness, "the engrafted," or the implanted, "word," in verse 21. And in contrast to the evil and the wickedness in our lives, we are to welcome God's word into our hearts in verse 21. And the word of God should be engrafted, and it should be allowed to take root in our lives. We talked a little bit about this Sunday morning, you recall, in John 15, when the Lord Jesus says, my word should abide in you. You abide in my love, my word should abide in you. And it's interesting, you know, right after I got saved, and I started reading the Bible, and I found out many times if I was disappointed, I would go to the Scriptures. If I was upset about something, I would go to the Scriptures. If I was had a decision to make about something, I would go to the Scriptures. If I had a hard time dealing in a personal relationship with other people, either especially on the job at where I was working at, if I had a hard problem in that area, I'd go to the Scriptures. You know, the Word of God has a cleansing effect in our lives, in our minds. In verse 21, James is saying that it's that engrafted Word, that implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You know, the reason that you and I were saved is because somewhere, somebody along the line mentioned the Word of God. We either heard it or we read it, we saw it. We saw the Word of God. It had the effect in our heart. The Spirit of God took that Word and opened our eyes and our minds to our need of salvation. And that's what the engrafted, the implanted Word there is there for us. And James is saying in verse 21 that we should receive with meekness, with gentleness, the engrafted or the implanted Word. That our hearts should be open to the Word of God. And we're going to discuss that in a few minutes in another verse. But you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's interesting to note, to note that if we are willing to open our hearts to God's Word, and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, if we're willing not only to open our hearts to the Word of God and to obey that Word, that's what God wants for you and me in our lives. Our hearts, first of all, have got to be open. We should receive with meekness, with gentleness, the engrafted, the implanted Word. Our hearts must be open to the Word of God. You know, sometimes our hearts get closed to the Word of God, don't they? Mine does sometimes. There's some things, well, you know, I hear a message, and I don't want to hear it. It makes me uncomfortable. And you've had that experience, haven't you? And because it's the Spirit of God taking that Word and ministering to our hearts. Instead of rejecting that Word, our hearts should be open to it, you see. We should receive with meekness the engrafted Word. And James continues on in verse 22. He says, and this is important for us in verse 22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, it's not good enough to read or hear the Word. We must be willing to obey it. And how many times have we heard that in our Christian life? I've been hearing that for the past 25 years, 26 years, or whatever it is. That we read the Word of God. But you know, it's so simple for us to understand that principle that we should read and be knowledgeable about the Scriptures. But how many times do we read the Word of God and we don't obey it? We see something in the Scriptures and we just skip right over it and we don't want to read it. We don't want to put it to use in our life. And, you know, we've all done that, and I've done that. And I've had to go back to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, you were speaking to me through your Word, and I didn't pick it up, and I'm sorry, I didn't see that. We should be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. You know, knowledge of the Scriptures without obedience, it gives us a sense of complacency. You know, I know a lot of Christians who have been saved a number of years, and they have a wonderful knowledge of the Word of God. They probably know the Scriptures better than I do. But their obedience is not there. Knowing and having knowledge of the Word of God is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. God wants us to do that. But obedience is something that we need to practice in our everyday life. I know when I got saved, somebody told me, brother told me one time,
Earl, you may not know a whole lot about the scriptures right now, but obey what you know. Obey what you know. That was good advice. That's good advice. And it's easy for us to hear the Word of God, to read the Word of God, and you know, kind of gloss over and say, well, you know, this doesn't apply to me. This spiritual principle, that's not a big deal. You know, we have a tendency to do that. But James is saying in verse 2 that we should be doers of the Word, that we should be obedient to the Word of God. Brother told me one time, he was wrestling with an issue, and he said that he had some thoughts and ideas, an attitude on a particular issue, and he started to study in the Scriptures himself what the Scriptures taught about that particular thing, that particular issue. And he reached the conclusion that his thinking, his attitude on a particular thing was all wrong. And he had to go back and adjust his thinking to what the Scriptures taught. And he became not only a hearer of the Word, he became a doer of the Word, you see. And that's the same thing applies to us. You know, we may have different attitudes and thoughts about certain things. And we may have disagreements among ourselves about certain issues, certain things. But what does the Word of God say about it? What does the Scriptures teach about it? What is in that Word that we should obey as believers? It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's not your interpretation. It's not my interpretation. It's what the Word of God teaches us. And what we should obey as believers, you see. And James further goes on in verse 23. He says, for any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, that's a nice, a good illustration of what James is talking about. You know, we look at ourselves in the mirror every day, don't we? And sometimes we like what we see and sometimes we don't. But you know, what a mirror does for us, it tells us, well, you know, you need to shave today. Or you need to wash your face. Or you need to comb your hair or brush your hair. You better do it. And we just turn around and walk off from the mirror and don't do anything. And James is using that as an illustration in verse 24. He says, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, we look in the mirror, we see we got to make a change there somewhere in our appearance. We have to change clothes, we have to take a bath, or do something. And we don't do anything, we just walk away from the mirror. And James is using that as an illustration in verse 25. He continues on, he says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And you know, speaking about that mirror, I got to mention this. You know, the Word of God is a mirror to us. And we can read the Scriptures. We can understand the Scriptures. We can say, well, you know, I've got this concept down pretty good. You know, I've got this, I understand this spiritual principle real well. But we read in the Scriptures. We understand the spiritual principle. We have the knowledge in our brains up here. But somewhere along the line, our obedience just doesn't kick in, you see. The Word of God is a mirror to us. It shows us where we need to make adjustments in our thinking, in our lives, in our attitude. And sometimes, you know, when we go to the Word of God, when we have a problem in our life, maybe we have a burden that we have to deal with, a trial that we have to go through, a heartache, a disappointment, whatever it is, brother, sister in Christ. If we go to the Word of God, read what it says, understand the spiritual principles, then we can obey it. But that's what it takes on us. It's God's responsibility to show us what needs to be changed. It's our responsibility to do it. And James says in verse 25, that we should not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. I like the way the Amplified Bible renders that. Being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active I'm sorry, but being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active listener who obeys. Let me repeat that. Being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active listener who obeys. You know what God wants from each one of us tonight? He wants us to be an active listener who obeys. That's what he wants from you and me. And we see in verse 25 that if we obey the word of God, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You know, if we remember the word of God, we understand it, then we obey it. God will bless us. That's the promise there in verse 25. This man will be blessed in his deeds. And James says, and we'll close in verses 26 to 27. James writes in verse 26, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And again, in verse 26, James uses the example of the tongue in determining our behavior. He mentions this in a little bit more detail in chapter 3. And he also mentioned it before here in this passage. But in verse 26, James is saying, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceives his heart and his religion is in vain. You know, if we do not restrain what we say, if we don't put our tongues under the control of the Spirit of God, if we're not careful in what we're saying, James is saying that in verse 26 that we're deceiving ourselves and our religion is worthless. That's what the word vain means. It means worthless. And again, James is mentioning the tongue. You know, one of the proofs of us as being believers is what we do, how we use our tongues, what we say to other people. You know, if you've been around unsaved people for any length of time, you know that they curse a lot. They use profane language. They tell dirty jokes. They run down other people. They criticize and are negative about other people behind their back. They're slanderers. They misuse their tongues in many ways. But you know, brother and sister in Christ, you know, when we're speaking, as children of God, as representatives of our Savior, our tongue should be under the control of the Spirit of God at all times. At all times. And you see, I know some of you say, well, wait a minute now, Earl. I mean, we'll all have to be perfect in order for that. Well, not really. Let's go back and look at our Savior. Do you remember in the gospel accounts what the Lord Jesus, how he related to other people, what he said, the words that he used to other people? You recall in a number of instances, his disciples were making silly fools out of themselves. And the Lord, instead of going up to his disciples and chewing them out and getting in their faces and yelling and screaming at them, you stupid dolts, what are you doing? He taught them. He taught them spiritual truth. That's how the Lord Jesus used his tongue and used his word. And so it should be with us, brother, sister, right? So it should be with us. And in verse 27, James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The proof of our piety is shown in two practical ways in this verse. Number one, we minister to widows and orphans. That's external. We keep ourselves from worldly influences. That's internal. You have an external proof of our piety and an internal proof. And you know, speaking about widows and orphans, you know, there's no more weak and vulnerable people in the world than people who have lost a spouse, a husband, and children without any parents. Think of how vulnerable these people are. They need help. They need somebody to encourage them. They need somebody to come alongside of them and to help them. And one of the proofs of our religion as believers is that we minister to widows and orphans. That's an external proof of our piety. The internal proof in verse 27 is that we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. In other words, we keep ourselves from worldly influences. And you know, that's a big job, isn't it? Because the world is a powerful place. The world has powerful ideas, and they're always bombarding us, our minds and our hearts, with all sorts of things that are not biblical. And James is saying that we should resist that, those worldly influences. And we see in this passage tonight, I hope this passage has been helpful to you. It was certainly helpful to me when I read it. And I saw that I fall short in a number of areas, need some improvement, like we all do, don't we? And I think the Word of God does that. And that's what the Spirit of God has done for us as believers. And, you know, the Spirit of God is not in the business of shoving people around and taking a baseball bat and beating them over the head. The Spirit of God wants us to change, but the Spirit of God wants us to change according to His Word, according to the Word of God. And that's incumbent on all of us as believers. And that's the end of the message for tonight. I think we have some prayer requests.